because ultimately you can have the best loyalty program possible, but if it's not coupled with offers or messaging or things that are relevant that build that experience, then there's still no incentive.
Welcome back to the Set of Seven podcasts. I'm Ben.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to everyone listening to us today. Interesting topic about loyalty programs. Recently, the HBR, Harvard Business Review, published an article about a study they run on the loyalty programs. So we'll go in the detail of some interesting topics and insights from this article and this study, and also talk about how retailer and marketer can learn from that and what that means for CRM tactics, how we can improve all these strategies and program. So let's get into the topic right now. This article that was published, I think, during October, second week of October, on the HBR website. Matt, tell us more. What's the study is about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's really interesting. This is loyalty, something that you and I have been talking about a little bit and actually thinking about doing a session on. So I think like the timing of the article is really interesting. It actually is really recent. So it came out on October 28th. So very, very, very topical and something that's kind of fresh and new in market. And basically what the study focused on is, it was a brick and mortar focused study, but I think obviously has implications for broader customer marketing digitally as well. And it basically was a study focused around one major retailer that was unnamed, but they analyzed, I think, about 10,000 customers on about $2.4 million worth of spend in transactions. And it looked at things like store visitation, spend, and then kind of compared that before and after joining a loyalty program to see and analyze the impact of the loyalty program itself. And so I think there's some interesting things that came out of this study that I think kind of will kick off an interesting discussion. One, they realized there was actually a broad swath of customers that were included in that measurement group, where the loyalty program actually had no major impact on increased spend, either increase in products or upselling them into more expensive products. In addition to that, you know, customers were enjoying those discounts, but that didn't necessarily always lead into lift. But there were a couple subsets of customers that actually were impacted, and they were impacted in a couple different ways. There were customers that spent more, and then there were customers or like bought more products. And then there were customers that actually were upsold into more expensive products. And the study actually hypothesized that a lot of those customers were actually taking spend away from competitors and spending more within the brand itself or within this retailer itself. So they were actually taking market share away through these loyalty programs. And I think one really interesting thing that, you know, I think could be interesting for us to discuss is it went into some depth around a fairly traditional tactic that marketers use with loyalty programs, and that's targeting those who are high spenders.
Yeah.
And what they realized was through the study is there was a lift in that group, but the lift was not significantly higher than just broad-based targeting of all customers, regardless of historical spend. So I think that's something that's really interesting and something marketers are thinking about, because there is a lot of questioning around whether or not there is an effectiveness or an impact of loyalty programs.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I mean, especially the fact that offering discounts to members of the loyalty program doesn't really led to more sign-up or more spend over time. I mean, the comparison between loyalty program members and the broad communication to the entire database and not seeing a big lift and a significant lift between the two groups, that's definitely something super interesting that will bring the points. I think my first comment on that is, what's the goal of your loyalty program? I mean, if the loyalty program is just about having either a green light to do more communication or send discount or unlock discounts, incentive of free shipping or this kind of things to your members, it's not enough. Sounds like not enough and not interesting enough to make a difference with people who are not in the loyalty program. And one of my arguments will be, if you have a discount because I have you offer a discount because a consumer is member of your loyalty program, and this consumer can access a specific discount. What prevents this consumer to buy to your competition is just competitors to just do the discounts. So there is no attachment to your brand. That's not because they have a loyalty program card in their pocket or they sign up to that program to get discount that they won't leave to another brand. And the loyalty program, obviously, that's not the case for all brands, but is not about building or accessing unlocking discounts and specific incentives on the price. But you really need to think about it as an experience and building relationship. We are back to our topic about how do you build relationship between your consumer and your brand? How do you build that in the long term? That will lead them to stay with your brand, engage with your brand on the long term, and that will prevent them to turn around, turn left, to go to the competition. The only reason is not because you have a better price. That will always be beaten or align with competition. What can't be removed from you is the relationship you build and the engagement you'll get from your consumer to your brand based on this relationship. We discussed about that. That can be a lot of different things, but that can be access, privileged access or early access to pre-sales. That can be access to specific events, specific action in your store or online. Different things that you can build around your consumer and your brand relationship that can increase this link between the two parts.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's interesting. Like one, you know, a deeper program, something that offers like you said, more than just simply like value from price. And I think the study mentioned a little bit around it starts to focus on, okay, like what groups can potentially be influenced by your loyalty program. And like I said, there were two major groups of consumers that were influenced, those that bought more products and those that spent more on individual products, bought more expensive items. And it went on to discuss that a lot of that, like I'd mentioned, was probably coming from competition, and then kind of went into that a little bit more around how can marketers take action on that. And like I mentioned at the beginning, it was brick and mortar focused only in this case. So what they were suggesting is actually understanding sort of the location of competitors, yeah, and then targeting those folks with offers that are relevant to them so that they can basically move them away from the competition and get them instead to stop in their store and not at a competitor's. But ultimately, the suggestion was to use AI to do that, to be able to understand exactly where they're being exposed to competitors, where they might shop, and then targeting those people with the loyalty program to get them instead to spend. And that actually was suggested to have had an impact. But ultimately, what that boils down to is something we talk about a lot week to week, and that's creating relevancy. And the same data that fuels AI to understand sort of like how you move folks away from competition can also be used to understand exactly like, you know, what is it that I need to be targeting them with? Because ultimately, you can have the best loyalty program possible, but if it's not coupled with offers or messaging or things that are relevant that build that experience, then there's still no incentive. I'm not going to, you know, engage in a loyalty program because it just because of the loyalty program itself, I'm going to want to get value out of it for something that's relevant to me.
Yeah. And I mean, the loyalty, I mean, there is, I think, maybe a difference to mention between a loyalty program and building loyalty with your consumer. Either they are part of your loyalty program or not. If you are relevant, I mean, you want to build a relationship with your consumer. You want them to be loyal to your brand, to your store, to your websites. I mean, if you're in the, we are talking about the study in retail, but if you're in travel to your destination, I mean, it works the same way. That's, you want to build a good relationship that will keep the consumer loyal with your brand. But that's like in every relationship, that's bidirectional. If the only thing you're trying to do is to get the move, to get them from being a regular consumer to a member of your loyalty program, in order to do what? Send them more messages? Maybe, but if still that's not relevant, you won't build anything else and they won't feel this relevancy, this relationship coming from your brand to them. That's, you are expecting something from them, but you need to deliver also something in exchange to build this relationship. And so what you say, Matt, is you need to build relevancy, messages, offer that will be relevant to them, to your consumer, either they are part of the program or not. And the study is showing that it's not because the consumer were a member of the loyalty program, that they spend more over time. That's, the lift was not, there is no significant lift into that. That was interesting to read first and to understand that, yeah, the parallel that is not mentioned in the article is you need to build a relationship. You need to build loyalty between your consumer and your brand. And that's not necessarily with a loyalty program. you can build loyalty to your consumer by sending more relevant content, only talking about the thing that they are interested in, getting information, first party data from them, zero party data from them, that you will influence and help you to better communicate with them, offer advantages, bonus, that can be incentive, but a price is an incentive and just an incentive to better convert. And that can work for loyalty program members or not. The fact that you want them part of your loyalty program is that they will get access to something else than just a discount. I really think that the discount is not enough. Having other advantages will really help to do that and will help them to move from a status to another status in your database, in your program. But then what does it mean for you? That's not to me, being part of a loyalty program is not a green light for the brand to bombard me with messages that are not relevant.
Yeah.
I can accept more messages, maybe, if that's still relevant, or other type of communication. And most likely I won't go to the competition because there is this type of communication between the brand and myself. But that's because there is a relationship built. So there is a strategy to build loyalty with your consumer. And you can name that the way you want, but the ultimate goal is not to have member of your loyalty program if there is no advantage. The goal is to build relationship and loyalty between the brand and your consumer.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the point around, I know you've mentioned it a few times, I think the around discounting not necessarily being the thing that's going to create loyalty, it may in the short term. I think it'll lead to short-term transactions and a lift in terms of like a specific product. If you've discounted it, people are going to be more likely to buy it at a lower price point. That's basic economics. But I think like where loyalty programs become interesting, and I think it'd be interesting to explore it more tactically is, you know, if you think about brands that you're loyal to, it's more of like an emotional experience in a lot of situations. So like, you know, I think like powerful loyalty programs that work really well. I think Starbucks is a great example of that. And I think the reason for that is because over time, people have developed an affinity for that brand because it's delivering value on the product level enough so that you've sort of developed that relationship. Like now I go there almost every morning. I'm a member. I associate that with, you know, feeling awake, sort of that traditional thing I do each morning. And then the reward program or the loyalty program makes me feel like I'm sort of like a part of like a special group, that I'm getting this unique value that's just for me because this is a brand that I'm engaging with. And I think like marketers really need to think about strategically how they move people into that group of people that have that, consumers that have that emotional connection with the brand. It's not just simply about discounts. It's about creating that experience. And ultimately, it goes down to the product. So I love coffee. I've been drinking, you know, Starbucks my whole adult life, and they've done such a good job of essentially taking something that I already love and making me feel like making me incentivized to go there because of the value that I'm getting. And then the loyalty program just becomes something that makes me feel like I'm getting even more out of a relationship that I've kind of already had. And so, even though I pass like 20 different coffee shops on the way, I know I'm likely to go to that one because of sort of this unique relationship I feel like with the brand. And I think like that's where marketers really need to get people to, from a loyalty program perspective. And to your point, simply offering me something that's cheaper is not going to do that. They need to create that experience.
And what about if, in your example, Mats, if they offer that's they push to you or they try to sell or to get you into is to buy instead of your coffee to buy, I don't know, a smoothie of kale. I mean, if that's not your thing, it's not because that Starbucks offering that to you and pushing that to you that will start to like this type of beverage. I mean, what you say, that's you are consuming this beverage, the other coffee with them because you like coffee first and you like the experience they provide around that. But that's not making you change for something totally different.
Yeah.
And that works with everything. Every retail business, that if you have members of your loyalty program, that's because they are engaged with your brand. But that doesn't, again, that doesn't give you a green light, authorization to do more, to send more message, to bombard them with offer that you want to push, but they are not interested in.
Yeah.
It's not because there is a label on it or tag saying that, oh, they are part of the program that we can do whatever we want. Unfortunately, that thing that we still see here and there. And that was an important point to highlight, because the loyalty programs are sometimes built or seen the wrong way, or the goals are of the program are just right when we design them, and when it's deployed and actually done on the field, stuck in just what do we provide? Let's just keep the incentive. That's our discount or free delivery or shipping instead of services, global experience.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting, because like, again, going back to the Starbucks example, like if you target me with, you know, a discounted, to your point around kale smoothie, I'm not going to buy that. So it's not in, I'm always going to get the coffee in the morning, you know, with milk. That's what I get. I'm either going to get it at Starbucks or I'm going to get the same thing at a competitor. And what gets me going to Starbucks every day is, again, that feeling of sort of tradition. I'm getting points for this. I get benefits throughout the year. Yes, they are value-based a lot of the time, but it's done so in a way that makes me feel like it's not like, you know, 50% off of this right now. It's something that I'm working towards, that I'm earning, that I'm getting over time. And that, for me, is why, you know, I've now sort of embraced this experience. And I think the next question is sort of around, in my mind, like marketers are probably, who are listening, are probably thinking, okay, this is great, but how do I do this through my marketing? Like, how does this translate into tactics every day? You know, like, how can I bring people from my competition who might want to buy that coffee or that shirt or that shoe or that TV or whatever from my competitor, and how do I get them to shop with me instead? And how do I then use my loyalty program as part of that to get that conversion and get them to spend with me over time?
I mean, first of all, that the fact that you have loyalty program members, most likely you have more data points about them, about the behavior and all of that. So that's the good news. You have more data, more detailed data, so more capabilities to be accurate in understanding what they would like to as a product with your brand, or what's the experience from them to your brand and the brand with them. This type of analysis of study on the data, on your data, to take action or to understand the individual in your database and not a group of people. That's circling back to a recent episode, some weeks ago, about segmentation versus individualization. You need to leverage all the data you have on individual to understand how you can communicate with them. And so you are not able, or you are able to do it, but that's not very relevant or really relevant to do group of people and just use manually some criteria about what's the amount spent in the last X months to do a specific type of campaign. Because again, the incentive for them won't be, it will work, but an incentive of the same type of consumer that are not part of the loyalty program with maybe less spent over time will work too. So why would you keep that incentive for your tactical campaign for next week only on the sub part of your database because they are part of the program? I mean, you can increase your sales by doing the same offer to everyone. Maybe you want more information from them, more data, more being able to get more from them to allow this discount on the product for them to buy with the discount. Fine, that's what you are expecting from them. But what's to do that? What again? What do you give them? So, circling back on your question, the fact that you have a lot of data that can be leveraged by AI for sure. Manually, you can try to leverage that, but that won't be efficient, and all the decisions you will take are not making a real distinction, a separation between your loyal program members or the non-loyal program members. That's just arbitration from your marketer point of view. That's is not necessarily effective in terms of results for the business. And over time, I'm talking about results over time, the lifetime value, what's the lifetime value, engagement value over time, months, quarter, years that you are building with your consumer.
Yeah, I think the time factor is really interesting, because I also think like with loyalty programs, there's this assumption that if I sign up, I'm instantly loyal. Or like I'm instantly have an affinity for the brand, and you know that I don't think kind of talking about the relationship piece of it, that doesn't happen overnight. Those relationships are built up over time. So I guarantee you that your loyal customers didn't become that instantly. Those are people that have engaged with your products or your services or what have you over and over and over and over again over time, and have built up that psychological relationship with your brand. And again, to your point, the only way that a marketer is going to be able to tactically do that is to, it all goes back to that foundation of relevancy.
Yeah.
Where you're sending them, you're educating them about the loyalty program, but through the lens of, I have relevant offers for you. things that you want, things that are going to bring you as a consumer value. Why don't you get them here? And by the way, we have this fantastic loyalty program you can sign up for and get all of these great benefits if you continue to spend with us over time. And that, doing that over and over again, showing them things that are relevant, showing me coffee or new flavors of coffee and not that kale smoothie, is going to get me engaged.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe to finish on the topic, I'll try to do a conclusion on that. Today, if your loyalty program is just about giving them extra discount, instead of building two different strategies, two different campaign plans for the two big groups in your database, loyalty program members or not, skip that part of splitting the strategy. Do that same type of communication that you would do for your loyalty program members to everyone. And meanwhile, work on improving the loyalty program, bringing more advantages, more benefits from it. That will help you to build on the long term. And again, I mean, the ad hoc campaign, the one-off thing, yeah, that's helped to solve your issue of the end of the week. Your business is not meant to shut down at the end of the month or the year. The game is forever. The goal is to continue to progress, to grow, to make the business available and to keep this relationship on the long term. That's where you win. Yep. As a marketer.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, loyalty is a long-term play, but I think marketers a lot of times use it for short-term conversions. And we could go into a whole topic about how you measure that.
Yeah.
but maybe that's for another day.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was very interesting survey or analysis from the Harvard Business Review. We'll put the link in the description for sure if you want to read the full article on their website. That's a really interesting read to do. But meanwhile, we'll find and discuss another topic next week. So see you next time.
See you next week.